Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. My name is Scott McKenzie, and we're broadcasting from the IoT Solutions World Congress all the way in Barcelona, Spain, where food is fantastic here. And it's brought to you by those wonderful people at the Industrial Internet Consortium. That's iiconsortium.org. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, why do I want to go out to the Industrial Internet Consortium? Well, you want to because you need to know more about IoT, IIoT, AI, blockchain, machine learning, anything that's technically specific and solving problems. That's what Industrial Internet Consortium is all about. Go out to iiconsortium.org and find out more. It's all free. No friction there. Don't come to me and say, Scott, I can't get that information. It's a lie because it's all out there. All right, we have a great interview here by the name of Beverly Ryder, and she's with Hitachi. And you know what? They inspire the next. That's I'm looking at her business card. And I'm not going to go down the road of anything. She's got a big, long title. And then everything else. But that's not going to be my responsibility. That's going to be Beverly's responsibility. How's that, Beverly?
I think that's great. Thanks, Scott. I love being here. I love your intro. And I definitely like these mics with your picture on them.
It is. It's all about, you know what that's called? That's called branding.
That is good branding. Yeah, I'm not going to forget it anytime soon.
That's right. The reason I have a beard is because of branding.
I love it.
Yeah, and have no hair. It's because of branding. It's not because I can't grow hair.
Oh, I see.
No, it is. It's because I can't grow hair, and I might as well just shave it off. So, hey, so you're having a good conference?
I'm actually having a great conference.
But you're heading out of here real soon.
I am, but I've been working on the conference for a whole year, so I was on the planning commission.
No, get out of here.
For the conference, yeah, so about a year ago.
Is that with IIC?
It is.
Okay,
yep.
Good.
So
that's a plug for you guys again.
So they've helped me go all over the world this year in order to have planning in Ireland and all over the U.S. And now we're here in order to actually have the conference. Yeah. So I'm part of the Buildings and Infrastructure track and the Women in Diversity, which happens tomorrow. So even though I am leaving, all of my people will be on stage and they're going to do a great job.
Well, there it is. We just might as well wrap it up. You just did a fantastic job. I have nothing else to say. Spectacular. But you're going to be heading out. So, for the listeners out there, Beverly, give us a little background on who you are. Outside of the fact that you're a Florida State fan, give us a background on who you are, where you come from.
Yeah, so I'm originally born and bred in Philadelphia, grew up in Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, because I love sports, are you an Eagles fan?
No.
Okay, now then we're talking pro. We're talking pro. I understand the college and the passion about that. So are you a Seattle Seahawks?
I am.
So what happened is that I think the Saints beat them this year.
Yes.
Okay, good. FYI, continue.
I watched that. It was bad. I also watched my Huskies lose. So I went to the University of Washington.
Beautiful stadium.
Isn't it? The new stadium.
The new stadium. It's just gorgeous.
It is. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Besides, you get to look at the water. You can arrive by boat.
Why it's,
not?
It's like,
right?
It's really, it's off the charts. It's like, it's an experience outside of the fact that you're in the Pac-10. 12.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a mistake.
Yeah, it was the Pac-10 when I started.
When it went to the 12, I just said, it's been Pac-10 forever.
You know, but I had this great experience, which is I married a man who's in love with Florida State, and so I've been able to follow them through the rest of my life, which has been nice. So 1 year Huskies are ahead, and 1 year Florida State's ahead. So Huskies have them this year, for sure.
Yeah, pretty much everybody has it over this Florida State.
We have a little bit of work to do.
You
got to climb back up the mountain.
You do.
When you get to the top, there's a long
and
way to
fall. I'm telling you, the state of Florida, too, is just really challenging just from a recruiting perspective. You've got so many top-notch colleges around that area.
We really do.
That's tough, man.
Well, and all of a sudden, Clemson first came out of
nowhere. Where did that come from?
And now Wake Forest only has one loss.
Where did that come from?
That I have no idea.
I have no idea.
I think it's because my daughter, that's one of her top choices of all the colleges in the country. Wake Forest. And so now, of course, their football team is doing well because she wants to go there.
That's another reason why I got to go, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
So let me answer your question. Yeah. So a little bit about me. I am married. I have 3 kids. I travel extensively for work because I have a team that sits all over the country and in South America as well. And then I like to do market making. So anything I can do to explain what IoT was, a while ago, people didn't know what IoT was, and now look, it's on every sign everywhere. So I get involved in things that are what I believe the future of an industry is, whether that be the technology industry or something else. And then I also really believe in supporting other women as we go through industry and technology specifically. There's not that many of us, so when I can bring them all together, I like to do that.
That's a whole other subject that my wife and I are passionate about too, women in industry, women in technology, and being able to highlight that, because it's necessary. So that's neither here nor there. It is exactly what I believe in too.
Yeah, well, tomorrow there's a session, a whole half day on it. So
she's going to be there.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Let me, I've got to ask for a point of clarification.
Yeah.
What's market making? What is that?
Market making is...
And again, can I steal it? Because once you dazzle me with the definition, I'm going to probably steal it. If you don't, then I can steal it.
No, absolutely. So market making is where there isn't currently a market, or there isn't understanding that a company operates in that market. And going out and spreading that through grassroots rather than through advertising or multi-million dollar campaigns. It's really taking it to the people and spreading it that way. It's kind of like candidates shaking hands. I like to go shake a lot of hands.
I like that. Oh, okay, I stole it. Yeah, have you read a book called Blue Ocean Shift?
I have read that, yes.
There you go. It's similar because it's Blue Ocean.
Well, you were talking about Blue Ocean earlier.
No, I use it all the time.
Yeah,
because of, well... the obvious.
Yeah.
So I like that. So here, the IIC, once again, Industrial Internet Consortium. I feel like I have to say that every time, but it's just such a lengthy IIC. Okay. Everybody knows. So this is the fifth year of this particular event.
It is.
And what's interesting is that now it's already, from my perspective, IoT, IIoT, all of the technologies out there, they're dialing in now. There's an adoption, there's an acceptance, that's fine, there can be more, don't get me wrong, but how do you take this incredible technology, blanket, macro, and then solve problems?
Right.
That's key.
Well, that's what this conference is different than a lot of others, and I go to a lot of conferences over the course of the year, and what I'll say is different here is that every solution has a customer that's actually implemented it. And so because they've implemented and you have that person on stage with you explaining, there's no session that we have that doesn't include a customer. And a customer that's implemented, and it's so different though, because they tell you what the problems were, what the benefits were, what the outcomes were, and how they personally experienced it. And then so you get lessons learned, as well as just, oh yeah, somebody bought something.
And see, and that's a great thing, because if you're not in the business of solving problems, I mean, technology, specifically here, you see the speed at which things just change, and I'm just a slow motion human guy that's still looking at version 1, and you're on version 10, and I'm still trying to determine if I have a problem, because I know I have problems, but tell me what
they
are.
Can they be solved?
Can they be solved? And with what you're talking about, the costs have gone down, the capabilities have gone up, and if you're not in the game, you can't see those other opportunities. There's nuggets of solutions out there.
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, it also crosses over. So people originally looked at IoT and data specific as something that was vertically specific. It was for manufacturing.
Yes.
Or if it was smart cities, or there were all these different verticals people looked at. But really, the solutions cross all of the verticals. You just have to take the nuggets and the IP out and transfer it over industry by industry. So that's something that I'm pretty passionate about, is reusable and repeatable IP that'll help multiple different types of customers. And then moving forward, how do you take that to also better society? One of the reasons that I was drawn to Hitachi is that they really believe in social innovation. So like one of my divisions is called the social innovation business.
You're going to have to define social innovation, because that might have to be one of those things that I steal, like market makers.
So social innovation is when you put a social bent on the business that you do. While it's important to be profitable within your business, there has to be some sort of societal good that comes along with it. I work for a Japanese company, and that's been a core belief for 110 years. So we do everything with a lens of social responsibility. We call it social innovation. But we're also in Japan, society 5.0, and the rest of the world's on 4.0. So we're learning really quickly about how to improve and to support each other.
Hold it. I'm still struggling with industry 4.0, and you just threw out social 5.0?
Society 5.0.
Society 5. You listeners out there, take a note. We've got a number of things. Society. Okay. I'm liking this conversation there, Beverly. Oh. Tell me a little bit about what that means.
I'll give you an example. I think it's better by example. You're in the train station at Tokyo Station, downtown Tokyo. There's, you know, 500,000 people going in and out every day.
Stunning.
And in the midst of that, there's an elderly woman who can't find her train and can't get up the stairs by herself. She's able to put her thumb on her phone, and it immediately sends out a request to all these people that were pre-qualified by the government that could be her helper that are in a vicinity. That person comes, helps her to get to her gate, and then the government puts money into their account that they can use for different things by just being helpful, and it encourages a different type of multi-tiered, multi-generational interaction.
You know, that's pretty cool.
It is, isn't it?
It is cool. Yeah. So it is like, see, it's the conversations like that that just blow my mind. And the reason is because you're thinking, I guarantee you, nobody has, outside of this, and now I consider myself one of the ones that in the know about Society 5. A lot of people are not thinking that.
No,
but that
absolutely.
Is interesting.
But it's now, a way to use technology for good.
Yeah.
Instead of just technology for technology's
right.
sake.
Let me ask you this. Are there any concerns about that? I mean, that's pretty intrusive type of stuff. I understand the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But there's an intrinsic intrusiveness sort of component to it.
It's interesting. So in Japan, there isn't a thought of that personal space when you're in a public space.
Wow.
So they have a different viewpoint of it. So outside of there, we have tried to implement things similar to that in other locations, and it hasn't worked because of personal privacy and just the data laws that are in place in those other countries.
Yeah.
In places like Qatar, it would work, you know, in Dubai, it would work. So places that have a little bit less personal freedom and a little more prescribed freedoms.
Yeah.
But what I love about it is that as the millennials are getting older, their vision of personal freedom is different than somebody my age.
It's so true.
And so because they're always in the public eye, because they live their life, because they live their life on Snapchat and Instagram and social media, their viewpoint of what's okay and what isn't is changing.
It is.
And I believe eventually it'll be okay here, and that'll be just in time for when they need to take care of me. So I'm ready.
The strategy's laid out. I've already got it all going. I'm going to do this, and it's all about me now. Because that's just really bizarre. And it's all being facilitated, or the ability to be able to do it is through technology. But it's the thinking that goes behind that.
Yeah.
See, me, personally, I work in industry. And to a certain extent, there's a dinosaur Neanderthal quality to that, where we've done it this way. This is the way we'll always do it. And you know, in essence, I'm waiting for them to sort of retire. And so the younger people, because that's when real transformation, because they'd look at the world differently. This the younger people that just, and that's where those unique transformations will take place in a very, very stoic type of business environment.
Yeah, you know, I have three millennials that live in my house, and I've worked with several recently, and I had this idea of them, and then I heard actually a podcast by Simon Sinek where he talked about the value of their differences and looking at it like upside down. And so I've recently started doing that, and I'm finding those core values. I also find that when you mix them into a group that's more stayed in their ways, that you just get original idea. And you get original idea out of people that might not have really wanted to think that way. But when you start their brains going, then it's different. It's like a snowball going down a hill. It gets bigger and bigger.
Yeah, you know, you probably could have gotten the same type of valuable information if you listen to the Industrial Talk podcast with Scott McKenzie, because I do those same things. Exactly, but I'm not Simon. I wish I was. But nonetheless, that's what's exciting about all of this. The conversations that we're having here at this particular conference, even from last year to this year, has changed dramatically.
Really?
I believe so. Because, once again, there's a social, but they're in the game. So they go in the game. You know, when I say the game, the IoT, whatever, this connectivity, digitization, whatever it might be. They go in with a specific thought process, and then when they're in it, that's when the thinking changes and say, oh, I can do that. I was talking to a gentleman that's in the sort of the smart city area and then deploying, you know, lights down in, let's say, third world areas. Yeah. And then be able to say what happened is that the kids were doing their homework by the lights because they don't have power in their house, but they got these lights.
Yeah.
So they would set up these. And then all of a sudden, to start, and then they can create connectivity with those lights. And it's just something like that. It just, that's right. Changing the world.
You know, that's happening in Miami as well in the projects.
Is it really?
Where they don't, yeah, there's projects and they don't have connectivity. So they tried putting connectivity like in a common room where the kids could come and do their homework in a safe place with connectivity.
Yeah.
And that did not work because people stole it or broke it or whatever.
Right.
So instead they made a van or like a school bus. They converted it into a portable Wi-Fi center and people could go onto the bus and they would drive around while the kids did their homework. And that gave them a safe, protected way in order to be able to actually graduate school and do something different with their generation.
But aren't you amazed by just that individual, that company, whoever it might be, truly said, that's great, and executed on it.
Yeah.
And actually did it. Because there's a lot of great ideas out there, but people don't execute.
I think that that's changing with crowdsourcing,
different
ways of looking at it. Now that we're an ecosystem and not individual companies, you know, in IoT, it forces us to work together. And because of that ecosystem, all those ideas, like you may not be able to do it by yourself, but if we all work together, we can.
Jeez. Where do you see it going? I mean, let's look at Hitachi, right?
Yeah.
Let's look at Hitachi.
Okay.
Well, look, hold your card up because you are Beverly Ryder, inspiring the next. Where do you, I mean, I want to hear your take on like the safety component.
Yeah.
Like there's a safety component to what you're a big thinker.
Are.
And then where do you see it sort of going? I mean, where do you have a future hat on?
I do. So let's start with safety.
Give it
That's
to me.
That's an easier
it is.
Question. So that actually is under my umbrella of what I'm responsible for. So I feel pretty strongly about safety. We have both LiDAR cameras as well as video cameras we're using for safety on an international basis, a national basis, as well as city by city. So what I actually think it is that video and those types of edge devices, they're the most widely spread out around the world sensor. So right now we look at them and we see a video camera, but really they could have 6 or 7 different use cases out of every one. For
there
instance,
you go.
Think about in an airport.
Yeah.
In an airport, we're worried about packages left in places. That's a safety issue, right? Because what's in the package? LiDAR can actually identify the heat components within that package, identify that nobody's with the package, and notify the police officer that's closest to that
right. In
a moment's, like moment's notice. If you lose your child, they can find the child in the red shirt anywhere in the airport. So there's all these multi-uses. But when you get to the gate, you don't want to be the person going onto the plane that has to take their bag off the plane because there's no reason, or there's no room left. So that same LiDAR can tell you, okay, the plane's at full capacity, don't let anybody else come down the ramp so they don't get pissed off. So there's so many different uses, and safety is at the core of almost all of them.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's funny because We do get tied up with the shiny objects, the dazzling, and it's like, yeah, you could do this because like this. But what that human element of safety is, that's real important.
Yeah.
And how does that, I mean, the safety element.
Yeah, okay. There's also a public-private partnership portion to that because you have to have everybody working together
right.
to amalgamate the data.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
takes a special person, I think, to make that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen to that, that's for sure. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the future. Where do you see it going?
I think the future is changing faster than I can imagine.
I
can't imagine it, what's coming next. And I believe that, you know, it's not our, it's anybody, but I think that somebody who's 7 years old has the ability to change the world these days as much as somebody who's 50. I think it can come from anywhere, any direction, at any moment, and you just need to really be aware and present in every moment so that you can catch on.
I like Beverly. That's just between you and me. Don't tell anybody, okay?
I won't tell anybody.
Okay, it's between us. All right. All right, listeners out there. If you're as impressed as I am, that's Beverly Ryder. Are you out there on LinkedIn?
I'm out there.
Are you active on it? That's one thing. There's active, and then there's you being out there. Are you active?
I'm active.
Note to self, going to be a part of, I will be joining Beverly's network. That's right. Me, Scott McKenzie. Anyway, that's Beverly Ryder. She's with Hitachi. She's got a big long name. I mean, job description, whatever. She's got one. But anyway, reach out to her. You'll find it out on LinkedIn. And once again, you're listening to Industrial Talk, and we're broadcasting from IoT Solutions World Congress, and that is brought to you by those wonderful people at Industrial Internet Consortium. That's iiconsortium.org. And you're saying, oh, hey, how can I find out more about IoT, IIoT, outside of connecting with Beverly? You can go to iiconsortium.org. Find out more. And there's no friction there. I'm telling you right now, no friction. You can get that stuff for free. Be better. It changes the world. So once again, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, change the world. That's what we're talking about here at IoT Solutions World Congress. Thank you very much for joining. We're going to have another great conversation. I don't know. I mean, hopefully it's better than, I don't think it's going to be better than Beverly. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.